Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw, Matt Winklejohn. Into the new hour, the 9 o'clock hour. We're watching the sunset back behind the, let's see, that's the BB&T building and the Wells Fargo building over in Atlantic Station, and a building that we thought we saw something hanging off the side of a couple of Sundays ago over at the 12. They got a couple of cranes over there, and the way they looked, it looked like an appendage of the building that was falling over.
And well, so, there's always cranes.
Yeah, you're in Atlanta. You're downtown Atlanta.
There's always cranes.
And but it turned out that that was a crane because I drove over to see it. I said, let me drive over here. I hit 17th Street. It says, I don't see it. This thing was supposed to be hanging off the side of the building because Greg and I talked about it for most of that morning. And we found out that it was what we were seeing was the two cranes from this distance and this angle looked like they were an attachment to the side of the 12 Hotel, and it was somehow it was like falling down. And I know Ken Roundtree, who's now he was on the other side of the glass that day, and he actually called over to the hotel and said, "Hey, you guys looked outside and something hanging off the side of the hotel." No. It was
there's nothing. A transformer on your building.
No, that's not what it was. So you know, we watch for that. So we'll keep an eye out and see what else happens. But that was the way the sunset looks tonight. It's a 9 o'clock hour. We're seeing the Braves in the sixth inning, and Max Fried still working. Not a masterful performance, but a serviceable performance. He got two men on now with a one out, and they're all tied 2-2. So we'll see how he does. You know, you want to see him pull through. He got up to such a great start for this team, and you want to see him play that role and still go six, seven innings. That's what you want to see from your starters with this baseball team. You know, with the bullpen, you don't want to get into that when you don't have to, or you want to limit it, especially to the seventh or eighth inning, if you can, and have your starters give you that effort. And that's what the Braves have pretty much been able to do. Yikes, look at that one. And that's driving home a run. Nope, maybe not. Oh, look at the play.
Wow.
Tyler Flowers made the tag. Now, that was pretty.
He was basically laying on his back because he went up the line to catch the throw from Markakis and Wright. And he's like laying on his side, and Frazier tried to jump over him.
And he tagged him.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
This highlight will be seen. That wasn't Frazier, by the way. That was Davis.
Davis
trying to score.
Jumps up and tagging. Yep, he got him on the foot.
He's lucky he didn't get trampled.
On his foot and his rear. Double tag.
Yeah.
Nice going, Tyler Flowers.
that highlight will be shown many times.
Yes, it will be. Tyler Flowers,
I've never seen a play like that.
I hadn't either.
Sometimes you see catchers that get kind of – they go down a little bit, but he was almost flat laying on his back. just shy of flat laying on his back. He was laying on his back.
It makes the play. Nice going.
Wow. And you see how he two-handed it? There was a play in the College World Series the other day where the catcher took a throw from the outfield and did the two-hand tag. Whereas so often I've seen plays where the catchers will try the one-handed swipe and they make the tag, but the ball comes out.
Right.
In the Georgia Tech's NCAA regional. Two hands, kids, two hands.
Yep. Always. Well, now they're reviewing it. The umpires are taking a look at it.
What could they possibly – what could the Mets be challenging here?
I have no idea. That gets
into – Might they say, you know, they're different now in the Major League Baseball. You can't block the plate. Might they be arguing that Flowers was blocking the plate?
Nope. They're still calling him out.
Okay.
They took another look and called him out.
Maybe they just thought he didn't get the tag on him. It seemed pretty clear that he did.
Yeah. What a play. And the score remains 2-2.
And the throw was from Culberson, not Markakis. I misspoke. Charlie's in right field tonight.
Yeah. And but still two out, but the Mets were still two runners on. As we take a look at what's happening with the Braves and looking ahead to the draft, I found that Sam Amico, Amico Hoops, Cavs, and Heat, they're talking about he's talking about a different trade, one with the that could include the Hawks. And we're looking at that, and we'll keep up with it and let people know what happens with that.
Not going to be a surprise if the Hawks don't go 8-10-17 like they're situated now. They still got five picks when you count that number 17, which technically the Nets own, but the Hawks will instruct them what pick to make. They're not going to add five rookies to this team.
Travis Schlenk said as much. Could be something. When we mentioned Kevin Love earlier, we talked about the possibility if the Hawks made a deal, it might be a three-player with the Cavaliers, and that's one that's being mentioned by this. So that's on Twitter, on Amica Hoops. Saying that. So we watch for that to be something as the Hawks may do, as the Hawks prepare to obviously go dealing tomorrow night in this draft. Of course, they acquired the 2024 second-round draft pick in cash considerations from the Miami Heat today in exchange for the 44th overall pick. So they moved one of those second-round picks today. And we'll see another trade around the league. Mike Conley being traded from the Memphis Grizzlies to Utah, and the Grizzlies are going to get Grayson Allen, Kyle Korver, Jay Crowder, and the number 23 pick in the 2019 draft and a future first-round pick. That's for trading one of the top point guards in the game going out to Utah.
Probably be a domino effect, I would think, out there in Utah. I would imagine Ricky Rubio will move on. I'm surprised somebody took that Conley contract.
Yeah, you remember when he got that thing?
And yeah, he was the highest for a moment. He was the highest paid player in the NBA.
Right. Wow. Yeah,
I mean he's a good player.
But at the time he had played in an All Star game.
No,
he'd never been an All Star and got that contract. I remember people were livid. People just went nuts when he got that deal.
Yeah, crazy things happen sometimes in sports.
Yeah. But we're hoping things get crazy tomorrow night with our Atlanta Hawks. Of course, we got a big draft party. We want you all to be there with us. Tomorrow night over at State Farm Arena. It's going to be a nice time. My goodness, people will be there. Sports Radio 92.9 is going to be there. A lot of visual opportunities. Large scoreboards showing things from around the NBA. It is the Atlanta Hawks draft party driven by Kumho Tire. And, of course, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game will be there. Fans receiving haircuts, Killer Mike Swag Shop. I'll give you a haircut. You know, I might go by there and let him just take a little off the side. Why y'all laughing, man? Jarvis on the other side of the glass is like busting up laughing at me when I say take a little off the side. Nothing to take off the top. So there we go. Jarvis on the other side of the glass is giving me a rough time tonight. But that's okay. That's all right. But tomorrow night, we're inviting everyone to come down and be a part of the celebration and see what happens, because it promises to be an interesting evening for our Atlanta Hawks. You know, it's great, Matt, to hear the team mentioned nationally and in a positive way, in a way of expectation. People are expecting something from Atlanta. And to me, that's the cool thing, because for so many years, you would rarely hear anyone nationally talk about the Hawks or expect much from the team. And I think even though the team didn't make the playoffs, they can see what potentially could happen here with the pieces that are in place. And with the aggressive people we have in the front office right now, that this could be a great landing spot for some players. Build it up through the draft and see who they can attract.
I wonder if it's too early to really try to go after a big gun in free agency. I've heard some people postulate that next year is the year when you
that's what I've heard so much.
But I mean, I think they're ahead of schedule, right? With John Collins having been in his first couple seasons and really, really good, Trae Young, Herter surpassed my expectations for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. I had a feeling about Herter. I just had a feeling about him coming in, what he was doing. And he missed a lot of preseason because he had an injury that he was recovering from. And so we didn't get to see a lot of him, but I just had a feeling that this guy comes in, he's going to pick his role and pick his spots and can really do some things with this team. And he's done it. I mean, he's had some nights where he went out and he was so comfortable and at home out there on the court.
Yeah, the latter third of the season, he was a darn good player. And yeah. You look at what Trae Young and John Collins did at the All-Star game in the, you know, in the special contest, John in the dunk contest, and Trae in the skills contest and things like that. And there's a nucleus, a young nucleus there that is very exciting to watch. Coach Lloyd Pierce has a very exciting style. His philosophy is appealing. Now, he'd like a little more defense than that team gave him last year.
Yeah, but you know what? He's being patient about that.
Yeah.
He's saying that the pieces are not in place to do a lot of the things that he would want to do defensively. So mm-hmm. right now he's like, you know, it's almost kind of like defense 101. You know, we get the other pieces in, he'll throw some other elements in, and really we'll get to see the defensive, the mentality of defense start to take shape, I think.
Yeah, and I anticipate there being significant defensive improvement this coming year. In his second year as coach, there'll be some personnel changes. We'll see what comes in the draft. We'll see if they do strike in free agency. They're going to have to strike in free agency in order to fill the roster out. But do they strike big? Do they get a name? Do they get a guy that moves the needle? Hey, you're already ahead of pace. Why not take it even further ahead of pace?
That's the thing. And that, like I said, that's what hinges on tomorrow night and what they see from tomorrow mm-hmm. night, what they're able to do and accomplish, and the impression that it makes on an established player or a player who's on his way to being a star in the league that would want to come here and be a part of what's happening in Atlanta. To me, that's the other part of tomorrow night that is so exciting. Yeah, ahead of schedule, and some people in Philadelphia might say, we got the coach that they should have kept.
Oh, sure. There are definitely people in Philadelphia that say that. You know, that Lloyd Pierce is the one that should be coaching this team, not Brett.
Yeah.
You think about that, though.
Look at how long it took them to do that up in Philadelphia, and now it's...
And they were... Let's not forget, if Kawhi doesn't make that miraculous shot in Game 7 of the second round of the East from the corner for three to win at the buzzer,
right?
Philadelphia is in the Eastern Finals against...
Against Milwaukee.
I mean, they were that close, and they got eliminated on that buzzer shot by the eventual NBA champions.
Yeah.
But they've got their own free agency issues up there. Let's see, J.J. Redick, Tobias Harris. Who else is one of their starters? J.J. Redick, Tobias Harris. Gosh darn it, they've got another free agent in that mix. So Philadelphia's, they can't keep all their guns.
Nope, and Butler's.
Jimmy Butler's the guy, he's gonna become free agent.
Yeah.
He has an option, right?
Yeah, that's amazing, because look at how long that program struggled. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't relevant. It seemed like forever.
And they went all in. You know, they made the trade to get Tobias Harris. You know, they traded with the Clippers, and they went after Jimmy Butler, who was disgruntled, to say the least, in Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah.
And for basically a rental, just like Kawhi in Toronto. But sometimes the rentals work out, or they stay put. Look at Paul George. Everybody said, oh, he's gone. He's going to sign with his hometown Los Angeles Lakers. Nope. You can't predict exactly what's going to happen in the NBA.
As we look at Donaldson with a home run for the Braves, has he been something? I don't know if you expected to get this from him,
too. He's been knocking it around lately, in particular. But this is the power surge. I was talking earlier about all these power numbers. I wish I had the hard ones in front of me, but that's all four runs have scored on home runs tonight. Two-run dinger by Freddie, two-run dinger by Donaldson that scored Freddie.
Yeah. Well, Matt, hey, always great getting you come through the studio and the Kia Studios, hanging out with me. I appreciate you. I think people enjoyed the knowledge that you brought, as always. And, we're going to be keeping in touch. By the way, folks, you want to follow Matt on Twitter? He is on Twitter @MWinkleJohn. And he keeps you up with a lot of stuff, especially as tech gets ready to get things going again. Or you might just want to drop him a line and holler at him sometime.
Well, thank you so much, Sam.
All right. Great to have you now. So stay tuned. More NBA talk. Sean Powell is going to join us next. Keeps an eye on things for NBA.com. We continue on this Wednesday night. Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw in the Kia Studios. Enjoyed spending some time with Matt Winklejohn, just talking things happening with the Hawks, Braves, and, of course, some NFL. But, of course, NBA is the big story as the draft is coming up. coming up this week. Got this reminder for you. Join 92.9 The Game this Friday from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw as the midday show broadcast live from 10 to 2. The Dukes and Bell show broadcast live from 2 to 7. Stop by Twin Peaks in Kennesaw this Friday. Enjoy craveable man food like delicious burgers, wings, and sandwiches as the Twin Peak girls serve you the coldest beer. That's coming up this Friday. All right, tomorrow night, NBA draft, of course, is happening. And things could happen. A lot of things could happen between tonight and then. And joining us now on the waitforit.com hotline, somebody who keeps an eye on all those things NBA, is Sean Powell from NBA and NBA.com. Sean, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, my man. How are you?
All right. Always great to hear from you and catch up with you wherever you are. You're such a globetrotter. You're all over the place. Out on the West Coast. I saw you snuck a little golf in, too, while you're on the West Coast.
Yeah, keep that quiet now. I want my bosses to know.
Sorry. You manage to work that in whenever you go someplace. Just when you can. You get the job done first, and then if you have some time, you manage to do that. Thoughts about tomorrow night? We've seen a lot of excitement so far, and it seemed like it's just going to really ramp up, and tomorrow night is no telling what happens after those first two picks.
Yeah, I would even have to say after the first three picks, you know you're going to have Zion Williamson go one, John Morant go two, and I believe R.J. Barrett was going to go three to the Knicks. I think the Knicks were locked in there. And then after that, the adventure begins because the number four pick belongs to the New Orleans Pelicans. They obtained that from the Lakers in the Anthony Davis trade, and they could use that. They could swap it. Maybe the Atlanta Hawks, who have two picks in the top 10. Maybe they want to move up. Who knows? I think the draft begins at number four.
How much have you been looking forward to this? I mean, I know we had the finals and we just crowned a champion and a new team wins it for the first time and the first team from outside of the U.S. borders wins it and big celebration for all that. All that aside, how much have you been looking forward to this time? Because it seemed like there's so much out there.
Well, I'm glad that, number one, that the NBA doesn't have a large two-month gap between the last game and the draft the way the NFL does, because I'd go crazy, you know, trying to deal with, you know, draft mania and, you know, constant speculation and things like that. So this is a pretty quick turnaround, and, you know, that's good for, you know, those of us who've had a long season. But, you know what's interesting? I think the NBA offseason, and by that I mean I'm including the draft and free agency, it gets almost as much buzz as the NBA regular season, and in some cases even more buzz. The regular season is long and tedious, and you know sometimes people fall asleep, particularly in those January, February games. But you know when it comes to free agency, man, people go crazy. I mean the constant talk shows, radio shows, speculation, internet buzz, all that. It's like nonstop. It's become a culture in and of itself. So from that standpoint, there's no rest for the weary. The work just perks right back up. And so you squeeze in 18 holes as quickly as you can and you get back to the grind.
Yeah, you do. I mean, we think about things out on the West Coast and we thought things were going to really change the look of this Golden State team. Now with the injuries that happened last week, we're not sure what happens with that team, and it may basically stay intact. What happens with the Clippers and the Lakers? My goodness, we know what's going to happen with that. They found a way to make front page news, even though they didn't make the playoffs and there was no LeBron James in the playoffs. Still a lot of talk about his team. So you're out on the West Coast, and that's where a whole lot of action is going on and potentially could go on tomorrow night.
Yeah, first of all, you mentioned the Warriors. If I'm the Warriors, the first thing I do is I'm tanking next year. I don't care. I mean, I tell Klay Thompson, don't even hurry back from your knee injury. As far as Kevin Durant, assuming he re-signs with me, I think he will. I say, KD, take the year off. We'll see you in 2020. I tell Steph Curry, you're only going to play about 50 games, and in those 50 games, you're not going to play more than 25, 30 minutes. And then I basically tank. Who cares? I mean, you've built up so much goodwill among your fans. Yeah, you're moving to a new arena, but those tickets have already been sold. So you tank, and you get a lottery pick next summer, and then you retool for, the 2021 season. Basically, concede the championship to the Lakers, because...
You really believe that? I mean the Lakers, because you said the championship to the Lakers. You really believe they have the potential to do that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you've got two players who are top five in the NBA. You know, the last team who had two players top five in the NBA, they had a dynasty going, and that's the Golden State Warriors. So, and again, we're assuming good health, of course. So a healthy LeBron and a healthy Anthony Davis, and you got Kyle Kuzma, and you're about to add another free agent. Who knows? It could be Kyrie Irving, could be Kemba Walker. I don't think it'll be Kawhi Leonard, but of course that's a possibility. Oh, dude, that's a slam dunk. I mean, I don't see any other team that can compete with them for star power. Absolutely, you have to play the games. There has to be chemistry, all that. I get that. But going into next season, I would say the Lakers, and especially if they get really a big 3.5, if they get Kyrie Irving to go with LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Kuzma.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with Sean Power, NBA.com. You can follow him on Twitter. He is social. You can follow him there at Powell to the people, numeral two, the people. You talked about the West Coast. A couple of teams that we saw in the playoffs that a lot of people thought could have been there, possibly Houston. We've heard nasty things about that. It seemed like everybody's up for trade. But what about Denver? Denver's maybe a player short from possibly having been there. I mean, thoughts about those teams and where they figure into things. Can Denver lure a player?
Well, I don't think they have a lot of cap space to get a big time free agent. Plus, they've got to pay Jamal Murray this summer. His contract will be eligible to be extended, and he's going to get his money. So, I think that puts a crimp in any plans on them getting a big time free agent. Look, I mean, you know, Denver is going to be certainly on the map, but this is a team that lost to Portland. So, yeah, they'll be much more, mature, experienced, and, you know, maybe your young players will improve, but, you know, they still have to pay their dues, I believe. Could they sneak in? Sure. Anything can happen. I'm not saying anything can't happen, but if I'm putting an experienced team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis up against the Denver Nuggets, you know, I like the Lakers' chances. Also, you know, yeah, you've got to talk about the Portland Trail Blazers. I mean, Yusuf Nurkic got hurt, and if he was healthy, you know, who knows what they would have done. Dame Lillard, C.J. McCollum, terrific duo. They'll be right there. Utah will be right there. They made the trade for Mike Conley. That's a fantastic backcourt now with Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell. So, you know, they have a shot. But, you know, again, these are teams that will be, you know, pretty good, maybe even very good. But in terms of championship quality, I'm going to give the early nod to the Lakers unless the Lakers do something that would bear me into another direction.
Wow. In the East, Toronto, could they do it again? Are we sure that Kawhi's going to take off? He may take off. We're hearing the general manager may take off and go to D.C. There, all kind of people may get this championship and go and cash in with it.
Well, you know, what I'm about to say, I could be labeled a hater in Canada. I'm not a hater. I think Kawhi Leonard played well for them. Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka, and, you know, they had a good run. They came back from 0-2 down against Milwaukee in the East Conference Finals to reach the NBA Finals. I get all that. But the bottom line is their timing was right. They caught the Golden State Warriors without Kevin Durant for all but 11 minutes. And they played one game against the Warriors where Klay Thompson had to sit, and then another game against the Warriors where Klay Thompson got hurt. And in both cases, the game that Klay Thompson got hurt, he was killing them. He had 30 points through the first three quarters. And Kevin Durant had his first three three-point shots in his aborted comeback. So I think if those two players are healthy, you know, I don't think there would have been a parade in Canada. I mean, you can call me a hater if you want to, but I just think they took advantage of the situation. Now, that doesn't diminish their championship, but I just think they took advantage of the situation. As far as next year, I think a lot depends on, you know, what Kawhi Leonard's going to do. If he leaves, I think that as far as championships go, I think the Raptors are one and done. They will lack that star that you need to win a championship. Philadelphia might be better, or Milwaukee might be better. I don't think they get past those two teams with Kawhi on the Clippers or maybe even the Lakers.
Yeah, yeah. Before I let you go, I got to ask you about our folks here at home. People do expect the Hawks to be players and part of what happens tomorrow night. Maybe work some deals to come up and be in that top five. What are you hearing?
Well, if you're Travis Schlenk, who, by the way, has done a fantastic job in Atlanta. All of his drafts have been very good, by the way. Kevin Herter, obviously Trey Young, John Collins. He's done a fantastic job with drafts. He's managed the cap well. All he wants to do at this point is to keep collecting assets. I don't think the Hawks are in position to make a serious move, probably for another couple years. But once they are ready to make a move, you want to have a good young nucleus and enough cap space to add a couple free agents who can make a difference. And right now they're on the right path. They have three number one picks. I don't think they want three, rookies on the team next year. So you could see him try to deal one of those first-round picks for some down-the-road help, or maybe combine a couple of those picks and move up in the draft and get a player who is a little bit more of a star-quality type player. I don't know if he can do that because, again, it's a four-player draft, and I don't think any of those teams in the top four are going to be willing to trade down with Atlanta.
Yeah, we watch to see. But just the idea that this team has attracted the interest and they're going to be aggressive. And I think that's something that's so different for Atlanta and something that we look forward to. Sean, we thank you for checking in with us and bringing us an update. Make sure you get all the work done tomorrow night and then sneak in your 18 holes after that, all right?
There you go. Thank you, man.
All right, thanks a lot. That is Sean Powell, NBA at NBA.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Powell2, numeral 2, the people. Giving some thoughts on the NBA draft and what we can expect to happen tomorrow night and in the coming days around the NBA. Interesting times around the National Basketball Association and interesting times for our Atlanta Hawks. Tony Ressler was on the morning show here earlier today, and we're going to let you hear his thoughts about the Atlanta Hawks as they approach the draft tomorrow night. That is coming up as we continue and roll on here after dark on this Wednesday night, Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99TheGame.com. Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99TheGame.com. Great to hear from Sean Powell talking NBA talk. Of course, the draft coming up tomorrow night. We're going to give you details in a little while on the draft party and how you can be in on with the fun as Atlanta Hawks down at State Farm Arena tomorrow night. But first of all, we want to bring you back an interview that took place earlier today on the morning show with John Fricke and Hugh Douglas, interview with Hawks owner Tony Ressler.
Are you the type of owner that, you know, is involved with the day-to-day things that are going on? Or are you the type of owner that trusts the guys that you have and kind of let them do what they want to do?
Well, I think the answer is a combination of both. Like any hopefully well-run business, you're supposed to have great people running the show. You're supposed to have ownership, if you will, very involved, but also offering enormous flexibility, enormous autonomy. So not just our business, but our basketball operations and our business operations. So when you think about what Travis Schlenk's trying to do with basketball operations, what Steve Koonin's been doing with business operations, those two also have to work well together. And I must say, we feel pretty good about where we are right now.
How do you kind of take the emotion out of it when you're dealing with something like making moves as far as like getting draft picks and trying to potentially get free agents here? How do you take your emotions out of all of that?
Well, it's not just emotions. It's about good decision-making. So we have a core, which we feel pretty good about, and generally a core of some pretty good up-and-coming young players that we know. And the job, and really Travis's job and the entire group of basketball operations folks, is to figure out how we keep moving forward. How do our young people get better? How do we attract more young quality players? And at the right time, how do we attract a free agent or two that really turns good or very good into great? And that's the process.
Tony Ressler joining us. All right, so having said that, so then you tell me, Tony, what's the eventual goal and what's the timeline?
Well, there's no doubt that the eventual goal is to win a championship, as I've been saying, and it doesn't happen easily. There's 30 other teams that are explaining to their constituencies, to their partners, to their communities, why they too will win a championship. We have an awfully young team right now, and we think you take a Trae Young, you take a Kevin Huerter, you take a John Collins, you take an Omari, you take a DeAndre. Again, these are young players that are getting better, and it's our job to keep improving. And at some point, yes, there's no doubt that the free agent market will be relevant to the Atlanta Hawks, no doubt in our mind. But you have to do it in the right time with players that complement other players. And that's, I think, what Travis is trying to achieve. And for this season, I think there's no doubt our objective above all is to make progress, to get better as a team. That's the plan.
Tony Russell, majority owner of the Hawks. Tony, no question that you have full faith and credit in Travis Schlenk. We've seen what he's done as a talent evaluator, and you're building through the draft in this reset of this organization, the Atlanta Hawks. Having said that, you're not afraid to make a big splash in free agency when that time comes, correct?
That is very much correct. I mean, listen, we'll be ready to spend appropriately whenever it is, in fact, the right time. And I think Travis is well aware of that. I think the idea of our payroll being significant, going up to be as high as reasonable, as high as one can actually go, that's not the problem for this franchise. The franchise is really trying to find the right player at the right time in the free agent market and make sure that we draft as well as humanly possible in the interim. And that is precisely what we're trying to do.
Talking with Tony Russell, majority owner of the Atlanta Hawks. Step back for a second ahead of the NBA draft. And Tony, talk a little bit about the organization. You come in here, you purchase a team, you reset the team, you hire Travis Schlenk, and he hires Lloyd Pierce, or the two of you do. What attracted you originally to the idea of Travis Schlenk and bringing him in? What were the assets that he could bring to you?
Listen, when we were looking for a new general manager, new head of basketball operations. Above all, we wanted an individual that we thought was really good at evaluating talent. You know, listen, there's a lot of kids out there that play basketball, and our job is to find players that not just are good players, but are players that will get better. Don't forget, we're evaluating most of these kids at 17, 18, 19, 20. So they're awfully young, knowing that they'll be maybe their best 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road. So we needed someone, we thought at least, to lead basketball operations that was an evaluator of talent first. And generally speaking, we feel that Travis understands what it is to be a good basketball player and has a sense of that. Just like we wanted to make sure that we had a head coach that knew how to make young players better. And focusing on development and focusing on making kids better. And generally with Lloyd, we feel we have that. So generally speaking, we couldn't be happier with who we have running basketball operations and who we have leading our team from a coaching perspective. So we feel good about that. We feel, as you guys have referenced, you know, over the 4 years, we did have to invest in the franchise, and we did have to build a new practice facility, and we did have to refurbish the State Farm Arena. We did have to buy a G League team. We did have to help get a G League facility built, which is hopefully going to open at the end of October in College Park. So we feel that we have made the necessary investment in the franchise as well as bringing in new folks to lead the charge.
We haven't seen until now kind of a commitment to the larger picture. I mean, the Hawks have had some success. They've made it to the NBA Eastern Conference Finals a couple of times, but I'm talking about really kind of big picture stuff. And you talked about State Farm Arena. You talked about the practice facility. You talked about the commitment to the G League and the new facility in College Park. Specifically, what does that bring in kind of the larger picture of everything that is kind of the Hawks domain?
Well, it's hard to pinpoint one item that makes or transitions you from, shall we say, an average franchise to a top-tier franchise. But listen, it's our objective, and it's certainly our obsession, to be a top-tier franchise in every way, in the quality of our players, in the quality of our coaching staff, in the quality of our front office, in the quality of our practice facility. Please, having a G League team and a G League facility, that's literally a half an hour from our both arena and practice facility, lets players see time that might not normally see time in an NBA game and helps them get better. So for us, every part of what we're trying to do is intended to make the Atlanta Hawks truly a first-tier franchise. And just talking about it, which, by the way, today is a pleasure, but just talking about it is not enough. You've got to make changes, which we have over the past 3 or 4 years, that has dramatically improved our facilities, dramatically improved the quality of people we have here. And I think, again, it's easy for me to say it, but I do believe this is a message and an obsession that's getting around the NBA. And I don't believe there are players out there that look at the Atlanta Hawks today and say, oh, that's a second-tier franchise. They have second-tier facilities. They're not willing to invest to be the best they can be. I just don't believe that's out there today. And it's our job to build on that. And that's what we've been doing the last several years.
With that being said, is that the main reason you think why it's hard for Atlanta to attract big-name free agents? Because, you know, living here in the city, and John's been here a while, you've heard so many different stories, but from what I'm hearing from you, kind of sounds like it was the facilities that was kind of holding us back a little bit. Did you feel the same way?
I don't accept any stories. I don't accept any excuses on attracting free agents. I've heard this, and please, I've seen the 50 years of the Atlanta Hawks and their perspective on free agents. We think that we are soon, really soon, going to be an extraordinary free agent destination. Players want to live in Atlanta. Ex-players live in Atlanta probably more than any city in America. So please understand, there's no doubt in our mind that Atlanta will be a free agent destination. Maybe there was a perspective or a question of whether the Atlanta Hawks are a franchise that will compete with any franchise in the NBA for quality players, with dollars, with facilities. I don't believe that's a question mark anymore. I think we wanted and we were emphatic about making clear that should not be. And it's, to us at least, just a matter of time.
You see the growth. Tony Russell, majority owner of the Atlanta Hawks, live with John and Hugh. Is it your expectation that this team can take a big step up under Lloyd Pierce next year and possibly contend for a playoff spot?
No doubt. Listen, from my perspective, if we are committed to getting better, playoffs are, listen, when we look at the East and we look at our young core and we look at what we did this past year, our team, when you look at our team the second half of the season, particularly when everyone was healthy, don't forget John was out the first part of last year. So all I'm trying to say is we have a team that competes every night. We know that. We have a team where some of the players, actually most of our players, make other players better. So, yeah, we absolutely think we could compete. But I don't want to – we're not putting any flag in the ground and saying this is the definition or the only definition of success. If you look at where our team is today, you know, we know that as long as we are showing genuine improvement, I wouldn't mind and I would very much be cheering to make the playoffs, and that's certainly what we expect. But if we miss it, but we are much better and we are a team that competes and contends every night, we could live with that. The key is making progress, and that's what we're all focused on.
Tony, what does true to Atlanta mean to you?
Well, I think when you look at this community and you look at all that this community has to offer, I would say that if we could establish an arena, a team, a franchise that genuinely attracts every member of this community to our arena and gives them a fun evening, that's being true to Atlanta. Truly being in partnership with the community, whether it's building the basketball courts that we've been building, whether it's trying to figure out how to make the community a better place. Listen, whether trying to see that what we often refer to as, or historically referred to as the Gulch, but now the Centennial Yards, to see the downtown of Atlanta be completely transformed, which I think over the next several years we will see. all of that to us is being true to Atlanta, is being in partnership with the community and hoping to be the best you can be.
I like it. I don't know about you. I like it. Hawks owner Tony Ressler on the morning show with John Fricke and Hugh Douglas this morning. We're going to get into some of the things that he said and talk about it a little bit more when we get to the other side of the top of the hour. We're going to continue. Maybe take some of your calls, find out what you think about what he shared in that conversation. 404-741-0929. If you are joining the conversation with me, let's head to the next hour. Mike Hill from Fox Sports on FS1 will join us also in the next hour. Stay with us on this Wednesday night. Sports Radio 99 The Game at 99thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.